AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. How are you going to remember 2021? Do record revenues and returns climb to the top of the list? Or do business issues take a back seat to some of the healthcare and social challenges the country has dealt with over the last year? And what about the year ahead? What's got you excited about 2022?
Live from the final day of 2021, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning it's our final Friday for hell. Panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Tim Barak, and your pal, Davis Michelson. Hello. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Okay, here's the deal. I've asked you before to limit the number of people in the studio when you've got the show going, and it sounds like you've got, like, everybody there.
They're all here. I've even got the AgriTalk Men of Brass. They're all here. They're all here right now.
Well, I guess
they're freaking out.
The AgriTalk singers, the AgriTalk Men of Brass. I'm sure that you're getting them all together for one last big, just happy celebration to send off 21.
I don't know if that's going to happen, Chip.
Really?
I had big plans. Then, see, I had a gallon of eggnog that I accidentally left out in the garage.
Yeah, did
for,
go bad
for the
on
Christmas
you?
Party. I don't know, but the guys got into it. They may be in no kind of condition to broadcast by this afternoon. It's hard to say.
Oh, man. Well, welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. Let's hope that Davis did not partake in that leftover eggnog. And
all green tea for me, amigo. Organic green tea. Yes, sir.
Attaboy. Yeah. Hey, I'm looking forward to this. We've got an opportunity to look back at 2021, look forward to 2022. And we're going to start a conversation today. I think it's a conversation that we are going to have a few times in 2022. And that is how we are going to be handling the CO2 emissions from ethanol facilities. You know, should we be using that CO2 the way that we've been using it in slaughterhouses, in dry ice production, stuff like that? Or should we permanently sequester it underground?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Good question.
So we're going to get that conversation started today. And of course, if you're going to move it from point A to point B, you better do it the most efficient way that you possibly can. We're going to talk about that with Tim Barak. Farmer,
I'm sure he'll have an opinion.
You think?
I think.
Farmer from Northeast Iowa, but an advocate for corn growers and farming in general for decades, and a outspoken advocate for the things that need to be done. One of the things that I'm most looking forward to on today's show is getting Tim's take on the infrastructure bill that was passed this year. Tim has been one of the leading voices in making it known to lawmakers the requirements for the inland waterways. Just the simple fact that we had to update the locks in the dams. So he's been doing that for a long time. So you got to kind of take a victory lap after that infrastructure bill.
You betcha.
All right, man. Should we do it? Let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke by phone on Thursday yesterday as tensions rise over a significant military buildup on the Ukrainian border. That call began at 3:35 p.m. Eastern Time and lasted roughly 50 minutes, the White House said. Now, the White House released a statement which said, quote, "He made clear that the United States and its allies and partners will respond decisively if Russia further invades Ukraine." And I imagine we'll get a little more from Jim on this in just a little bit.
Yeah, I can't wait to get Wiesmeyer's take on this foreign relations issue that we are dealing with Russia right now.
Well, Beijing's commitment to step up purchases of U.S. goods and services under a 2020 Phase 1 trade pact expires today, Chip.
Wow.
With China expected to miss its targets by a wide margin. Observers note the White House could reinstate certain tariffs that were cut as part of the trade deal, though that could backfire if China were to cut back U.S. purchases or take measures against American companies doing business there.
Okay, so what was it, October 2019?
When the
deal was initially announced that there was a phase one deal. Remember what President Trump said at that time?
Something to the effect of China.
What Not President bad. Trump said at that time was buy bigger tractors and buy more land.
Oh, yes, he did.
Just think if he would have done it, you'd have appreciated assets on your hands right now.
That just made me think for a second. China will cut its subsidies for new energy vehicles, such as electric cars, by 30% next year, the finance ministry said today. China, the world's largest auto market, has set a target for new energy vehicles, including electric hybrids and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles, to account for 20% of car sales by 2025. But they're cutting the subsidies. I don't quite get this one, Chip.
Yeah, well, it's because I think what they're saying is that they're making some progress there, and by the time that they get to 2025, they don't want to be paying anybody anything to buy one of these. Hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. Why are we not talking about those in this country? I don't know why we're not.
Well, Cuba and China have signed a cooperation plan to push forward construction projects under Beijing's controversial overseas infrastructure program, the Belt and Road Initiative, which has saddled many participating countries with heavy debt loads. China moving into Cuba, Chip.
Yeah, they're moving into wherever they want to go is what they're doing.
The White House wants to increase federal involvement with building high voltage lines, which often takes years as part of an effort to accelerate renewable energy growth. Approvals often encounter regional opposition and face years of delays. Chip, you've been preaching, okay, electric cars, fantastic. Where's the infrastructure? Where's the power going to come from?
Yeah.
Now they're talking about some more high voltage lines here. Maybe they're starting to think that way.
Well, and they're starting to fill up the high voltage, or they think they're going to be able to fill up the high voltage lines with the alternative sources of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that has proven to be less than reliable.
Hopes and dreams can be very electrifying, Chip.
Yeah, yeah.
Urgent care sectors across the U.S. are temporarily closing as they try to manage community needs and staff shortages. The CDC's travel warning for cruise ships moved to its highest level, with the agency telling Americans to avoid cruises regardless of COVID-19 vaccination status. And in a related note, canceled trips are still piling up with more than 1,300 flights Thursday as rising coronaviruses continue to hobble staffing. About half as many have already been scrapped for today as well, according to FlightAware, as a coronavirus surge continues to disrupt U.S. air travel. And get this, Chip, Senator Lindsey Graham said former President Trump would likely have the Republican nomination for the 2024 elections if he wants to run, saying, quote, the Republican base appreciated him. From a policy point of view, he was the most successful president from a conservative's point of view since Ronald Reagan. Strong statements right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is the election year. This is the midterm. We're getting into it. And it's amazing. It is amazing how when the calendar flips from Dece to Jan and from 21 to 22, we've been talking about the upcoming elections in November of 2022. But boy, the conversation and the rhetoric around it is really going to ramp up going forward. We got the free-for-all coming your way. Wiesmeyer, Michelson, Burak next. Perfect.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Crazy, but that's how it goes.
Sometimes the bump music sets the tone, doesn't it, Davis?
It really does. It really does. It's a festive party atmosphere is what it is.
Yeah. And not only that, but that one wraps up the year that we are wrapping up.
I'm sorry.
It was
did you just say that wraps up the year that we're wrapping up?
I might have.
I think you did. Now, you know how I feel about repeating a word in a sentence.
I'm sorry. That sums up the year that we're wrapping up.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm glad that you called me on that, though.
I mean, now I feel like a jerk. I should do this stuff off the air. It's not very nice of me.
All right. Fail. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Let's get this free-for-all started. We've got Iowa farmer Tim Burak with us. Tim, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I am very well, Chip. Glad to be here. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend. Glad that you are here. Yeah. Of course, Davis is going to be part of the free-for-all. And Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, is with us. Jim, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone.
Good deal. Okay. Let's start with current news, and that is that phone call between President Joe Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Jim, it doesn't sound like it was a happy-go-lucky kind of phone call.
No. Putin basically, he said if he doesn't get what he wants, there will be a rupture in relations with the U.S. When he puts red lines, he means them. So high risk here.
Yeah. He continues to talk about the potential for some issues for Europe as well. It's hard for me to believe that President Biden can't put together enough peer pressure on Putin between European leaders, other leaders around the world, and go to him and say, listen, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. What's going on here? Why isn't that happening?
Well, basically, he doesn't really, by he, I mean Putin, doesn't want to take over Ukraine, but it's NATO. He wants a commitment that NATO will not be joined with Ukraine and Europe as well. And he doesn't want any encroachment anywhere near Russia when it comes to Western troops.
Is that what's behind, if we're talking about all this hostility and the troop buildup and all this stuff, and yet earlier this week we reported that Russia said, hey, look, the Nord Stream 2 is all set to go. We filled her with natural gas. We're just waiting on the Germans for their regulatory stuff to figure that out. That felt like sort of counterintuitive. Like, we've been concerned, oh, he's going to throw the switch. He's going to shut her down. And he's saying, well, we're all set to go.
That is how he, quote, negotiates. He just wants a commitment on NATO. And if he doesn't get it, then this can escalate. Both sides know that this is and I hate to use the word crisis, but it's near a crisis.
Tim, have you been watching this situation?
Yes, I have, because it's going to impact the markets and touch us all. But, when you look at the history, and I've got a little farming experience in Ukraine a few years ago.
Yes,
when you go
do.
Over there, you find out that the western half of Ukraine is Ukrainian, the eastern half of the Ukraine is Russian, and that was a geographic boundary put in place, between 1905 and 1925. And so it was more of a political solution. When Russia went into the Crimea, I talked to some Ukrainian people that were here in Iowa, and their parents actually lived in the Crimea, and this individual was extremely happy about it. She says 80% of the Crimea are Russians, and they are glad the Russians are there, and the eastern part of Ukraine is where they speak Russian, and I'm not convinced it's not significantly different.
Yeah. Interesting. The whole dynamic of the citizenry over there, the people of Ukraine, because I remember back in 2014 when Crimea fell to Russia, there were mixed reports coming out of the region on whether or not the people wanted them there. All very interesting. But like you said, Tim, it's going to have an impact on the markets, had a big impact on the wheat market back in 2014 because the Black Sea region was becoming the number one supplier of wheat to the global export market. Any disruption in shipments coming out of the Black Sea region was going to have an impact on markets, and it did. And going forward, we've got to watch for some of those those market impacts. Wiesmeyer, go ahead, Tim.
I'd be interested in Wiesmeyer's thoughts and what he thinks is going to happen.
Yeah, that's where I was just going. Good stuff.
Well, Pro Farmer quotes a U.S. intelligence, a former U.S. intelligence person is saying Putin is just toying with Biden and the Western allies, and she thinks that Putin will go into Ukraine. We just went through 30 years of the dissolvement of the Soviet Union, and Putin has not forgot that. He's trying to incorporate back as much of the Russian territory, Russian, speaking people, as Tim said, as possible. He is not going to back off.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Well, let's begin this. Take a look back at 2021. Jim, you've done some of it with us, but when you look at 2021, what is going to be that one item that or issue or event or news that's really going to stand out to you?
In 21?
Yeah.
Well, it's just, I know we talk about inflation and prices and things mm-hmm. like that, but this COVID thing has such, at least in this town, such lingering impacts here, and we're seeing accelerated impacts. What, try to get on a plane now and try to schedule events again. We're not making much progress here, Chip.
Right. Davis, look back at 21. What are you thinking about?
$26,000 per acre Johnson County farmland. It's got me thinking about all sorts of things, especially in the context of, and Bubba made an interesting comment, and I think it overgeneralizes, but it really made me think about the whole thing. Property value isn't based on the property itself, but on the value of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the mm-hmm. value of money has been such a topic of conversation. Between that and farmland values, I'll be digesting this for a while.
Yeah. That's a good one, because you could throw the used machinery values right in alongside of that
yes.
that we talk about every Monday morning with Greg Peterson and how he had five of the hottest weeks he's ever tracked in the mm-hmm. last quarter of the year.
Yes.
So
and I don't know how you're ever going to afford your skid loader, by the way.
Yeah, I've kind of given up that dream.
You're going to need a raise.
Yeah, I'm going to need a raise, no doubt. Tim, what about you, 2021?
The open border policy,
okay.
I think, was the biggest thing for me until the withdrawal from Afghanistan. And both of those have taken front and center in what I think is the two biggest items in 2021, and both of them hugely negative.
Yep. I've got on my list Afghanistan, border issues, labor issues, supply chain chaos. It's one of those years that's deserving of the bump music that we had at the start. It was a mashed up year, but it was crazy. And it was crazy on so many different levels. One of the things that you and I talked about a few times in 21, Tim, was when was that top-up payment for hog producers going to come? And USDA officials kept telling us, Wiesmeyer, that it was coming. Well, it never did come, did it?
No, but Vilsack did say on AgriTalk that it was going to be a modified payment. In other words, and it was, but it was not anywhere close to the top-up payment that they thought they were going to get. He changed the rules.
And for the contract hog producers, Tim, that was needed, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was the latest one announced here this month, and now that's been put on hold. I just called the government office yesterday, and they says, well, we got an email now, it's been put on hold. The requests have far outstripped the available funds, so they're re-looking at it now, and it's too bad, but that's where it is.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, when we come back, let's start taking a look forward into 2022. I've got a few issues on my list that are bleeding over from 2021 into 2022, and I'm telling you, doggone close to the top of the list is the bio and renewable fuel market development. We'll talk about that next on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Let's say Happy New Year to Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm all right, Chip. Markets probably should be closed today, but that's another issue.
Yep, that's exactly right. Good letter this week. I know you had to go a day earlier than what you would have liked to, but it was a good letter this week, no doubt about it. We got this corn market right back up at $6 today. What's going on there?
Yeah, just, you know, yesterday it sold off and kind of a perfect storm. Got some rains through Argentina, southern Brazil, those types of things, year-end trading stuff, and just kind of flushed to the downside. You know, soybeans let us down, and we're seeing recoveries in both the soybean and corn markets this morning. So I think that's the biggest thing. There's no real news out there, to be honest with you. Like I said, the market's probably should be closed today, but here we are trading them this morning and trading a full session at that, too. I mean, just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything in the deliveries for the January soy complex contracts?
No, you know, just really light on soybeans, nothing on meal, and light on oil. So, not really much meat on that bone either.
Okay. And then the wheat market's trading under pressure here this morning as we get into the last hour and a half or 2 hours of trade here. Okay, take us over to the livestock markets. What's going on there?
Well, cattle market, it's really quiet, first off. But cattle market, we saw the cash price shoot up yesterday. So packers were aggressive in coming back for cattle. So, you know, for next week's slaughter and thereafter as we get out of the holiday schedule here and into normalized slaughter schedules. And so I think that's, you know, at least mildly supportive. And then hogs just facing a little bit of profit taking here this morning.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. We'll talk to you later. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Hey, if you've got something that you would like us to discuss on today's show, give us a tweet. Just include hashtag AgriTalk in the message, and that way I'll be sure to see it. Otherwise, you can send us an email. Host@agritalk.com will get right to us. Let's get back to the free-for-all. We've got Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Davis Michelson, Ag Day Anchor and Landowner Editor, and Tim Barak, Iowa Farmer and Advocate. Tim, I can't believe we let the conversation on 2021 go by and didn't mention the infrastructure bill, Barak. It almost feels like for some of that, it's time for you to take a victory lap after pushing for some of those for some of that funding over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that since you had your opening on the show today. It's been 30 years, Chip.
Yeah.
Since we started a major push on, you know, 1200 foot locks, understanding the ports. And, you know, at that time, we were the only game in town besides, you know, livestock on the farm and a little corn sweetener was the export market. And so that was huge and to be able to get those products down the river. But, you know, that things change. And now, you know, it'll be great when that river is improved, but it's just as important for the inputs, the fertilizers coming up the river now for me today, as it was going down 30 years ago. And the other aspect that we didn't talk about is the broadband. Who would have thought 30 years ago that broadband would be as important as it is today? You didn't even hear of it, so you didn't think about it. So times have changed, Chip, including me.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But it is Jim, put your perspective on that infrastructure bill, because there are so many things in that bill that I appreciate and that I think are very, very much worthwhile. The only problem that I've got with it is that it's absolutely huge. I mean, trillion became a common denominator for spending in 2021. We can't forget that.
Yeah, when you throw so much money at anything, and this was needed because this is infrastructure has been traditionally one of agriculture's competitive advantages, and we need improvements, and it looks like we're going to get it. But now we're going to be in the implementation phase, and that's where it takes far longer than most people realize because government and state entities are involved. But I'm not going to be negative on this one. This was a win for all of U.S., especially the ag sector and the waterway system, as Tim said. Yeah. It's been such an advantage to U.S. producers, but it's needed investment, and it's coming.
Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. I mean, and what Tim said about the fertilizer coming up the river, Davis, boy, we need to stay focused on product. It's what that river can bring to the Midwest, too.
Availability is going to be as much of a concern as price leading up. Unfortunately, we won't know it's too late until it's too late.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. That's right. Okay. I said it at the end of the last segment that I think when I look into 2022, one of the biggest stories that I think we're going to be covering is the development of the bio and renewable fuel markets, even more than what we've gone through over the past 20, 25 years. It feels like we're right on the edge of another surge, doesn't it, Wiesmeyer?
On what?
On the biofuels and renewable fuels, renewable diesel, maritime fuels, sustainable aviation fuel, it all feels really good.
No, absolutely. This is going to be one of the success stories in the years ahead, as long as we don't have the naysayers get the upper hand on some of these industries again.
Well, but this time it feels different this time because it feels consumer driven and it feels dollar driven by those using the fuels. I mean, airlines are not going to be flying into Europe in what, 3 years if they aren't using the sustainable aviation fuel? They're not going to give up those markets.
No, it's climate driven and it's going to be led by companies who want to do, quote, the right thing. And this is going to be the impetus for the continued acceleration of biofuels.
Right. Okay. This feels like the right time to slide into a conversation about some permanent sequestration of CO2. Tim, I know that you've been, you find yourself in a leadership role when it comes to an issue for ethanol and these CO2 pipelines. Tell us about them.
Yeah, Jim just really gave the perfect segue there when he said, you know, this is socially driven, and it is. Currently, there's two projects. There's the Navigator Pipeline Project and the Summit Carbon Solutions Project. They're different business models, but they have the same sequestration outcome, which is pumping CO2 below ground. I was kind of a skeptic on, you know, CO2 until I heard Dr. Lisa Schultz-Moore from ISU, and I'd suggest you get her on your program.
Okay.
And she convinced me, and it doesn't matter whether I agree with it or not, that as Jim said, this is socially and government driven. And examples are Amazon, Coca-Cola, Google. Look what they've spent in Iowa, Amazon and Google, with plants, just because of our wind energy. So for whatever reason, companies who cannot sequester their own CO2 are willing to spend between $200 and $200 a metric ton for the right to release 2,204 pounds of their CO2 in the air. Mm-hmm. So then now that takes us to the ethanol and CO2 pipelines that, you know, impact the Midwest. This is a real opportunity here. You know, any ethanol plant that gets hooked up to these sequestration pipelines can immediately reduce their carbon score, index score in half, and by continued work could get that down to zero, you know, by the end of this decade. And, you know, what does that mean, Chip? You know, that this is a big deal.
Well,
you know, this allows, well, I'll keep going here and then we'll talk. This allows ethanol to access these low carbon fuel markets that today we're locked out of. And yesterday you had Jeff Cooper on and he was talking about EPA's new direction with the RFS in 2023 and the life cycle analysis. But he didn't mention what it would mean if we could reduce the carbon index score of ethanol in half or down to zero. And, you know, that is a big deal. And to take it one step further, if I'm delivering my corn to one of these plants, blockchain would allow me, if I'm growing that corn in a sustainable manner, to prove to those plants that I could gain a major premium on every bushel of corn I could deliver down the road. And this also helps ethanol counter the EV movement, the electric vehicle movement, which is real. And Ford stock was up 134% this year due to their electrification.
Okay. You know, you asked what happens if we can cut the carbon score on ethanol production in half. Well, it makes ethanol an advanced biofuel is what it does, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can get into these markets that we don't have access today. And we've got to do something different. And people are willing to pay, or companies are willing to pay. But to make it happen, we've got to get these pipelines built. You know, one goes to Southern Illinois, one goes to North Dakota. But we've got to capture this CO2 from these ethanol plants. We're going to breathe new life into these and extend the value of ethanol and the future of ethanol. You know, 40% of all corn goes into ethanol. So this isn't something to be taking lightly.
Wiesmeyer, what's your reaction to this?
Well, watch the anti people coming out. I've noticed in the Iowa press, you've got them saying the CO2 pipelines are dangerous and not the solution for capturing CO2, et cetera. It's heavy gas, it can rupture, things like that. That's to be expected, but you've got to be ready to deal with it. And I hope the biofuel industry, as Tim signaled, we'll focus on this topic, which is a far more return on investment and a return to producers than the basic parameters of the renewable fuel standard. And so we need to get the lobbyist more, you know, prioritized on this topic because it's winnable.
Yeah.
This is the first time we're talking about this. Tim, can you just, you're talking to a third grader here, maybe even just a second grader. So when you're talking about capturing that carbon and a carbon pipeline sort of a system, what you're saying is rather than releasing this into the atmosphere and whatever, we're capturing that and sending it somewhere to some sort of a refinery or some sort of an industry that can put that carbon to use in its
underground,
in its processing. Underground. Am I hearing that right? Have I got it right?
Not quite. You're just pumping it a mile underground into rock formations where it's held permanently for thousands, millions of years, unless
it's liquefied,
it is. It's under high pressure.
Yeah.
It's pumped, it's liquefied, cooled, and it is sequestered.
Yeah. So, and then just pump it underground and leave it there, Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is,
it's already being done. This isn't a new technology of any form. It's being done. ADM does it today at Decatur, Illinois, out of their processing plants. They just pump her a mile right below them right now. It's not new technology. What's new is a carbon index score market that's developed, and what's really even newer is the social movement that's taking place.
That's it.
Because they recognize the need to do something different.
And we'll be back with more of the Free For All.
Do
you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
She complicated, left me anew. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Here we go into the final segment of the final free-for-all of 2021. Got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. We've got Davis Michelson, AgriTalk anchor and landowner editor, and Tim Barak, Iowa farmer and advocate. Let's stay on what we're looking forward to in 2022. Jim, what you got?
Well, I think we're going to have an acreage battle, and that'll be good for corn because relative to the fertilizer prices and other aspects, the market's going to want to bid up that corn price to make sure that we have enough, you know, planted acres, Chip. On the production side, China's sow herd grew almost 5%.
There you go.
Last year. That means more potential world corn exports and soybean exports to that country.
All right. Let's just go around the horn here. Davis? I love the acreage battle stuff there, by the way, Jim.
I'm looking ahead to more self-congratulatory, aspirational social spending. You know, and the question is going into this year, is the economy getting better because the recovery is working, or is the economy getting better because it's getting better on its own? And right. I think that the line that...
Is it a recovery economy or a growth economy?
Right, and the line will be, yeah. This is a recovery economy, so we need to continue to pour money into it. I think there's that risk there.
Wow. Can you imagine? Hey, one of the we do a lot of things on AgriTalk, but one of the things that we did in 2021 was I think we helped people understand just how big $1 trillion is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yep. And I just got a note. Repeat it because it's important
yes,
for people to understand it. Okay, so if I was going to start counting and would count one number for every second to get to 1 million, I'll see you in 12 days.
Okay.
12 days.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Oh, really?
That's not bad.
Well, yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right. Considering the fact that a lot of people could retire when they get $1 million in the bank, easily retire, you know, keep that in mind, okay?
Okay.
Now, let's get to a billion. Counting off one number every second. I'll see you in 32 years.
Ooh.
32 years. Now, you know how this works. Just add three more zeros to get to 1 trillion. Mm-hmm. I will see you in 32,000 years. Mm-hmm. That's how long it takes to get to 1 trillion seconds. Hopefully that helps people understand just what we're dealing with when trillion becomes the denominator that was most common in these spending packages mm-hmm. in 2021. Barak, take us into 22. What else are you looking at?
Well, naturally, it's costs. But I'm thinking about this discussion you just had. And I'm old enough to remember when Senator Everett Dirksen was talking about government spending, and he'd say, you know, a billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money.
Real money.
And that was in the 70s. And now you've just gone to the trillion, and it's unbelievable to me. But my concern is, going back to the 1980s, early 80s, is that when the Fed decided to start raising interest rates and didn't know when to quit, it won't be as drastic this time, but how much can our government afford with $30 trillion in debt? How much of an interest rate rise can the government even stand? They're in worse shape than the farmers were in 1980 in terms of borrowed money.
Jim, that's a fair point.
That's very fair.
And
we're going to see. That's why the Fed is in a box here, because as they're getting rid sometime in calendar year 2022, they're buying of the government securities. But if they start raising interest rates too much too fast, then you could tilt the U.S. economy into a growth recession, and that's the last thing we need.
Yeah. Okay.
It's called a dilemma.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Absolutely.
So okay, maybe we could spend a little more yet then. We could borrow another couple trillion and pile on.
They're already talking about a new COVID aid bill up here.
The economy can't fix itself.
Yeah. They're going to keep the printing press running. I mean, there's no question about that. That's the new modern economic theory.
Yep.
You just continue to run the printing press and dump stimulus into the market and into the economy, and off we go to the races. So
I personally think Manchin may be the most underappreciated economist in the country right now.
He saw it, didn't he? He saw it. He understood very quick. You know, and I remember when he brought up the economic impact of the Build Back Better plan. One of the things that he said was, listen, there are a lot of things in this bill, this plan that I could support, but don't you think we should wait a while before we decide to dump more money on this into this economy? That was the tip off right there, Tim, when everybody should have sat back and said, geez, we're dealing with inflation like this right now, and we're looking at dumping that much more money in. You're right. Manchin might be the best economist to evaluate that bill. Good stuff. I got to throw this one out there because we haven't even talked about it. Protein. Yeah, Jim, you said a battle for acres. Just think what that meat case is going to look like by the time we get to the end of 2022 and we start to think about what it's going to look like again in 2023. I mean, we've got declining cattle numbers. We've got declining hog numbers out there. We have taken maybe too much incentive, and we've had to the protein producers have had to deal with so many issues, drought out in the West. Yeah. Protein trade is going to be tumultuous.
High feed costs. Don't forget that.
High feed costs. Absolutely. Tim, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you so much for making time this morning.
Yep. Happy New Year to you.
All right. All right, Jim Wiesmeyer, thanks, buddy.
My suggestion is buy North Dakota farmland, because if this climate change is real, more and more crops are going to get better and better in that state.
Wow. Davis, we'll talk to you this afternoon after that idea drop on us. We've got Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net this afternoon on Ag.